College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student-athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student-athletes.
Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, Season 2, Episode 1. Welcome back. We are proud to be powered by our sponsors, College Promoters USA. Again, they are America's premier prep program and high school student-athlete marketing service since 1997. For those of you located in San Antonio, Texas, you can find them locally at the Ventura Plaza Shopping Center. You can also find them on social media at Twitter, at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also find more information regarding them at their website at collegepromotersusa.com. We are back with the coach, Coach Rafa C., Mr. Papasakaritis. Coach, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you? How was your holidays?
I'm still in holiday mode, to be honest, man. Still in holiday mode. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, but very excited to be here with you. Talk some shop, talk some soccer. We're going to look at a lot of things as they start to, they're kind of in the preliminary side as far as UIL getting ready to start their season. We know we have some scrimmages wrapping up over this week, over the next couple of days, and then come next Monday, January 3rd, they will officially launch their season with, you'll see some non-district games, some friendlies individually that lead up to the next 2 weekends for sure. Cause those are very, very heavy on the tournament side in UIL. We'll discuss that. And then we'll also discuss TAPS play, the start of district play there, cause they're on the preliminary side. Again, TAPS has been into their season now since as of November 1st. Kind of a slow start for them. Usually they build up, get a handful of games. It just depends for certain teams more so than others. Handful of games. And then you've also seen some TAPS teams that have been playing what is a real game for them and a scrimmage versus some UIL competition, which I know, Coach, you were just at recently. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was recently at the Central Catholic versus Southwest boys game. They're at Benson Stadium. Which was a little anticipated matchup. You got two quality teams. You look at Southwest, they made it to the regional quarterfinal. You know, same thing with Central Catholic, they made it to the TAP semifinal. But they have, you know, great coaches, you know, great talent, you know, so something had to give. But like I said, Southwest really impressed me. They did a lot of great things. And you know, Central Catholic maybe still young in the season, still kind of working the kinks, but I think they'll be all right for their district when they come district plays. I think they should be the favorite. But like I said, it was a good matchup seeing the TAPS team versus a UIL team, and we've been seeing quite a few of those these last couple of weeks.
What would you say from, you know, it's, you mentioned the TAPS and the UIL side. Obviously, one team that's in season. They haven't, Central Catholic Buttons haven't played very many matches so far, even though they are in season, versus the Southwest team just getting going. What would you say, was there a clear difference just in terms of the numbers, the depth that you saw, which kind of is usually the case between public and private, just because the sheer numbers of the public schools versus the private schools. But was there something that really grabbed you, that stood out to you just from seeing two quality sides in the San Antonio area on the public and private side?
Yeah, what surprised me is, like, normally the TAPS teams are already in season and they have a few games already under their belts, so they have like very that chemistry. But what surprised me, the Southwest, you can tell they had a lot of chemistry already with that team. And actually, they played the day before. I think they played Lee, and they lost a close one to them, I think 2-1. So I know I did check on like Southwest's schedule as far as scrimmages. They're really piling on the teams as far as preparation. So They're getting battle tested from the start. And I kind of, like I said, I kind of expected maybe Central Catholic to kind of get the leg up since they already had like a month ahead, you know, being in kind of like in shape and having that team chemistry. But, you know, the big surprise was Southwest really kind of flexed their muscle. You know, they had their, they kind of, it was like kind of like a boxing fight, kind of like Rocky and Apollo kind of testing each other out a bit. And then finally, you know, Southwest hit him, you know, got a good punch in and got that first one in. And it really kind of, it was like a landslide there. You know, they kind of flexed their muscle in that first half. And then Central Catholic made a couple adjustments and they made into a little game, but, you know, Southwest didn't really flinch too much. They adjusted and ended up pulling up that four to one win. And, but it was a great game because I said there was a lot of talent on there, like I said, but I do see both teams, they should win their districts with no problem. But I think Southwest might be that sleeper team. Hopefully, like I said, I'm sure they would love to get a revenge game with Valley View in the playoffs. And I think maybe there'll be a different result if the game's played here in San Antonio as well.
Yeah. And yeah, those are great points. And, you know, one thing I also wanted to hit on, I'm going to go back a little bit. You and I had the pleasure of attending back on, what was it, Friday, December 17th. Mm-hmm. So going back about 10 days now, excuse me. We had the pleasure of attending that scrimmage between Smithson Valley Rangers and the Dripping Springs, the defending 5A state champions, Dripping Spring Tigers. We were both in the house for that one. What was your kind of takeaway? You've had a little bit more time to digest that one. Final ended up being 3-1 Smithson Valley, a very, very entertaining game. But kind of before I go into my spiel, Coach, what was your takeaways from that match?
Well, going into that game, it was a great matchup. You know, you got two quality teams. Well, you got the defending state champs versus one of the 6A's area teams for Region 4. And in right from the start, you can tell Dripping Springs were having their way for a while, but then Smithson Valley made some great adjustments. And they took advantage of a lot of the mistakes, and you can still, even though it's kind of, I think their second game, but, you know, the kudos to Smithson Valley. They made the, you know, they took advantage of those two mistakes to get that lead, that 2-0 lead. And not that Ripper Springs didn't have their chances, because they had quite a few chances, either hit the crossbar or mid to the side or just whiffed a couple of them. So it was a competitive matchup. And then second half, you know, Smithson Valley, with the wind in their back, took advantage of it, got that third goal, kind of, you know, really made Dripping Springs kind of like rattled them there. But towards the middle of that second half, you can see Dripping Springs started picking up the pace. They're starting to they made adjustments. They started going up, getting the attack. They finally got one in, but they had missed out two other ones on two crossbar. I think two of them hit the crossbar, and, you know, this could have been a different result. But, you know, kudos to Smithson Valley. They were able to hold on and just getting that, what I see out of it. I think Spring Springs, I think they're still going to be the favorite for Region 4 for 5A. I think they'll be in content. They're in that brutal district with Bernie Champion and Alamo Heights. So it's going to be a dogfight for them, but I think they'll come up on top. But those three are probably going to be in contention for the district title. But I still think that Dripping Springs is the clear, you know, favorite for Region 4. Even though that their team on did talk to us about they're missing a few players too. I think they're starting goalkeeper or a couple other ones, and so I think which is a good experience for them, just in case if there are injuries, that, you know, you have players that can come in, plug them in, and take care of business. So that's what I got a lot from Stranger Springs. As far as Smithson Valley, from that game, you know, when I did our show there with the San Antonio Roundtable, when I did the Power 15, I have Smithson Valley as number one team for the girls there for the San Antonio area. I was impressed by them. I think they're going to surprise some teams. Can they compete against Westlake and Lake Travis and Vandergriff? I think they have the talent. And I think, you know, hopefully those three don't take them lightly. And they could be the one then that finally comes out, breaks that little curse, you know, getting eliminated by the Austin teams and finally representing Region 4 for the state playoffs.
Yeah, you know, my take, those are great points. I think my take, when, you know, the more I digested that a little bit and looked over kind of my notes from watching their game, one of the things that really stood out to me, our post-match interview that we had with Coach Adkins from Smithson Valley, he kind of hit the nail on the head when he said that Dripping Springs, who is projected to be making that leap up to 6A in the next realignment come next August, he said that they're not going to have, and they're going to be just fine. They're not going to have any issues getting settled in at the 6A level, because that was a match that, excuse me, I called it. That was a match that was very much a, if you didn't know better, first of all, you wouldn't think that's a 6A versus a 5A school. First of all, you would have just thought just two pretty evenly matched teams. Mm-hmm. The next thing, you know, next thing that stood out was just both teams were, it took them a little bit to kind of feel each other out, but both teams were already in. That was like a playoff level atmosphere, playoff level match being played in December as a scrimmage, you know, so, which rightfully so, why I know, you know, Coach Perrine and Coach Adkins scheduled that scrimmage. So kudos to them. But also just the level of intensity, I think. And what you notice too, Smithson Valley playing possession based, playing out of the back, they established the speed of play. Dripping Springs was adjusting, looking to counter, trying to get settled in, figure things out defensively. And Smithson Valley capitalizes initially. And then that said, Smithson Valley still had their opportunities in the first half. They clearly did. It goes without saying, obviously, when you're in preseason play, scrimmage, you're always going to be missing players, club players, what have you, multi-sport athletes. We know Dripping Springs was missing one of their top players, one of their top goalkeeper, Caroline Dill, who's a Oklahoma State commit. She was out for that game. So it's kind of hard to say, right? Kind of hard to say, but yeah. And then you could tell when Dripping Springs finally broke through with that first goal, that pressure was mounting, that momentum was mounting, because they were figuring things out more, knocking on the door, hit the crossbar from I believe at least two times, if not three times. I think another time they hit the football crossbar, right? And then hit the post, I think at least twice as well. So it was an interesting, very entertaining match. A lot of takeaways in terms of, I think Dripping Springs is going to be the real deal once again. I know they graduated, I believe, five or six players from last year's championship squad, and they have about five seniors, I believe, on this year's squad. A lot to be said in terms of what's going to happen, and Smithson Valley is going to be, I think they're going to be just fine. They're very patient. Coach Adkins has them playing very well, still figuring things out. But like I said, that's why they play these scrimmages.
Yeah, like I said, they're for Smithson Valley, they're going to, you know, they're also in a tough district. You know, you got teams like Clemens and Steele, you know, within that district that's going to challenge them. Also, New Braunfels Canyon as well, too. So it's New Braunfels, they're going to challenge them. So it's a good test for them, because I think a lot of teams, when you go into scrimmages, you know, you want to play the best of the best, have that playoff atmosphere, because that's a lot of the times, you know, you may be in a district that is not that competitive, and this is going to prepare you for those matchups later on when you go into the playoffs. So, you know, so kudos to those teams. But, yeah, we're going to see those, especially those two teams. We're going to definitely see, hopefully make deep playoff runs this coming year.
Absolutely. And I know right now, I know you're out of town outside of San Antonio, but any projected plans on any scrimmages that you or Harry, part of the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, might be looking at attending this week?
I think tomorrow, I'm here in Del Rio, so I might be seeing my former team. They have a matchup tomorrow at 2 versus Cornerstone, which is one of the private schools. Even though they're affiliated with TAPS or SPC, I did see them last year. Del Rio made a lot of mistakes. We should have won that game. So we'll see what type of matchup, you know, they'll play tomorrow. So hopefully I'll be able to live stream that game on our Facebook page for the San Antonio Roundtable. You know, just want to see what, you know, it's, you know, an interesting matchup because you have a UIL team versus a private school team. We'll see how, you know, what's done. Like I said, Dario, they made a run last year. They went three deep to the playoffs before being eliminated by Alexander, which is, I actually got to see Alexander a few weeks ago too against Harlan. So, and you know, so there's some preparation there. I started trying to see who they're going to get before the start of the season on Monday on the 3rd, which I'm looking forward to.
Right, right. And I'm still looking. I know. So we returned to training with my team. We returned to training tomorrow, so the rest of this week. So going to try to see what I can make or what some of us here with the pod team can maybe make out or some of our, you know, just like we had talked about, that collaborative network that we are that we're building. If you're planning on attending any scrimmages this week, please let us know, and please tag the 50/50 podcast as well as the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. You tag myself and Rafa this and follow up on scores as well, or not so much scores. We're not really worried about scores so much as we are just general analysis and matchups leading up to the buildup for next week's, the start of the season next week. So, all right, coach. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to transition here. We're going to go ahead. We're going to jump into the start of the UIL soccer season, which starts again next Monday, January 3rd. The big thing, as we all know, very few teams. Some teams will maybe get in a game on the 4th, a single non-district game, but it's a lot of buildup that leads to those first two weekends in January. You'll see play on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, which is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, followed by the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of January. Those are very, very heavy tournament weekends in the UIL play. And we're going to go ahead and take a look at the boys first, coach. So let's locally, before we branch out to the across the state, locally in the greater San Antonio area, what has you excited? What are some maybe some tournaments you want to highlight?
I know for San Antonio, for the boys, we have that Northeast, Northside showcase. There's going to be some interesting matchups coming up. You're featuring some of the top Northside boys teams, the Northeast boys teams, and then some other area, and even some out-of-town teams are going to be coming to that. It's always a good – I know last year I went to see a matchup with Southwest and Churchill. That was a good matchup. There's a couple other teams there, so that's a good one to look forward. Another one that I did get to go to last year was the Alamo Heights tournament, and there they had some really good teams. We had the state champs Lee there. Mm-hmm. They made the final to the Alamo Heights tournament versus Alamo Heights. That was a very good matchup. It's a traditional powers for 5A and 6A going against each other. And then we all saw, I got to see an upstart team, which was the Harlan Hawks. And, you know, nobody expected them to make a run last year, you know, and they fell to Lake Travis last year. And that's where they got their start, you know, getting the ball rolling into their successful season. So they're going to be in that tournament. And we got a couple of Dallas teams like Waxahachie is going to be there. I think Arlington Heights. I think even some couple Corpus Christi teams will be there.
Right.
And then, so those are the two kind of the key tournaments for the boys there in the San Antonio and for the San Antonio area.
Now, when we branch outside of just the immediate San Antonio, we'll look at maybe the larger the region, right, with Austin. Talk a little bit about the upcoming tournament. I forget what year they're in now of hosting it, where they share it with, I believe it's Lake Travis, Westlake.
Yeah, the Lake Showcase. Yeah, that'll be the week after. That one's becoming, I guess, it's kind of competing now with that the North Texas Showcase too,
right?
Because you're getting quality teams. I know with the North Texas Showcase, you do get some out of state teams, but this one's been really look at some of the teams that are listed on there. Besides, you have Lake Travis, Austin Westlake, and then also Vandegrift that hosts. Now you have teams like Leagues going to be there, Harlan. Even some of the Laredo schools, I think United and Alexander, United South, I think they've kind of realized, hey, you know, we need to play some top-notch teams to get you know, so we can match up against them in the playoffs. You see some teams from the Houston area and Dallas area. So this is a really good showcase. So if you're out in the Austin area for then 2 weeks, it's a root, you know, check out some great soccer because you're going to see some quality playoff teams.
Right.
And even some state, like I said, a state champ and some state contenders, they're going to be there. So, you know, have the opportunity to go check it out.
Yeah. Do you have any, I know we were just talking about it. How long have they been hosting that particular tournament there?
I think that one's about 3 or 4 years old. I think it's just recently just added, and like I said, it kind of rivals that one with the Governor's Cup, because I know the Governor's Cup there in Georgetown was the kind of like the big tournament that features a lot of quality teams. But you know what? You know, you got to give kudos to Westlake and Travis and Vandergrift hosting this showcase, because they are attracting some of those teams, and hopefully eventually they'll, you know, it gets a little bit bigger. We'll get more, and they'll get maybe some out of state teams to come to the Austin area for that showcase, and maybe they even go to a couple bigger venues. You know, there's Q2 there. I mean, that'd be great to have a couple games there, high school games there, or even that Ron Rock Complex or somewhere. Like I said, that will feature some of the top talent, not only in that area but also in the state.
Yeah, and you know, so did you mention the Frisco ISD tournament?
Yeah, there's also the Frisco ISD tournament. That's the first week. That's also another quality tournament. You're going to have the 5A state champs, Wakeland. They're going to be in that tournament. Next up, we mentioned the Northeast Elite tournament. You got some of the best teams in the Dallas area and also out of state. And then we got a couple San Antonio teams. I think Clemens and Central Catholic are going to be up there competing. So, you know, so these type of showcases and tournaments are what you're looking for as far as, you know, to get you prepared for your district play. Because there are some teams, like I said, some teams start district right away after that week one. You know, if you're in a 10 team district, you start district play. So you have to have all those quality games to kind of get you ready for that.
Right.
You know, there, I know there's some districts that have maybe 7 or 8 that you can squeeze in a second tournament or showcase. But for those teams that are 9 and 10, you know, they make sure they go to these top notch tournaments to get them prepared for the district play and also for the playoffs.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good analysis. Good takeaways. All on the boys' side. I know we tend to naturally you focus a little bit more on the boys' side. I focus a little bit more on the girls' side, just through our experiences, our coaching experience as well. Now transitioning over to the girls' side. Number of great tournaments as well. And again, so coaches, tournament directors, or even if you're participating in a particular tournament that we don't mention today, not just in the greater San Antonio area, but across the state, bring it to our attention, DM us, tag us, you know, just DM, feel free to DM the 50/50 podcast or San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. We'll make sure that these are tournaments results that we want to go ahead and follow up with for upcoming episodes as well. So please feel free to reach out to us. Let us know if there have been any changes as far as times, dates, matchups, anything as well. Please let us know again. So DM us and follow up with us on the girls' side, coach. So we'll start locally as well. I know one, and I'll hit on this one just because I recently just had him on the podcast, but this first weekend in January, the 6th, 7th, and 8th is the Smithson Valley Ranger Classic, hosted there, obviously, at Smithson Valley High School. In talking with Coach Atkins, I know they usually have a very good turnout in terms of just fans, supporters, but also college coaches for that one. He did mention a few besides them, obviously. He did mention they'll have Canyon will be there, Churchill will be there. Harlingen will be there, and I think Hendrickson, if I'm not mistaken, just off the top of his head. So it's going to be some very good quality matchups as well there. So that's one that we're definitely looking forward to. Hopefully we can make a trip back out there to Ranger Stadium. They tend to take care of us very well out there as well. So shout out to the Smithson Valley Athletic Department, and particularly Coach Atkins. So So besides that one, Coach, the Ranger Classic, and before we start kind of looking a little closer across the state, what else has you excited on the girls' side locally?
Locally, there's also the Serge Clemens, Universal City Showcase. It's hosted at Steele High School and Clemens High School. So you're going to have a more quality teams there, too. They're going to be attending.
Do you know who's going to be in that one? Any idea?
I know it should be Steele and Clemens. I haven't gotten the whole – I have been trying to look to see. And if they're watching, like I said, hopefully they can send us a list of teams out there. But I do know in the past they've had some quality teams, right, like especially like for Northeast and Northside. Some of the Austin area teams have attended, you know, that show, little showcase. So, like I said, if they're watching, like I said, send us a little – shoot us a little tweet, you know, what teams are out being playing on that, you know, that showcase. Another one that's a little up the road is the Longhorn Showcase, too, hosted by UT. You know, they have quality they're going to have quality teams playing there. They're at the UT soccer field where the women's play at. And actually, it's a boys and a girls showcase. So showcasing a lot of great talent, you know. Yeah. Too bad UT doesn't have a boys team. It would be nice, you know, for recruitment purposes. But, you know, I'm sure with the girls, like I said, it's an opportunity for UT to look at some of the top talent here within the state. And then plus they're going to play a really nice facility too. You know, they have a good facility there where the Lady Longhorns play for college soccer for the Big 12.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up the weekend on was it on the girls side, boys side, that I-10, is that the one up in the I-10 challenge? That's the one in Katy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. There is one in the Woodlands. I did see Lady Rattlers. They're going to play in the Woodlands tournament. So I did see them. And I think there's also another one I listed on there. Another tournament in that Katy area, which is the I'm just kind of checking my notes really quick. It's that Katy Mojo Classic. So that's
– Yeah, that it's the I think that's separate from the
– Yeah, separate from that one. I think the I-10 was one the week after that.
Yeah, the I-10 shootout is – so because the Katy Mojo Classic is that first weekend, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the I-10 shootout, I'm looking at it here. It's January 13th through the 15th, and that's – trying to look up actual list of participants right now, but they haven't got a pretty good little website though that's already up and running. So kudos to them. Trying to pull up a, just don't know if this is their projected, if this is last year's stuff or if this is now updated with this year's stuff, but they're broken down into multiple, what looks like multiple brackets across, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 brackets. So that should be an interesting one there for sure. What do you know? What can you tell us about that Katy Mojo Classic?
I do know that they bring a lot of the top teams from the Houston area. I know there's a couple of San Antonio teams are heading out there. So it's basically, like I said, another tournament, a showcase that's going to feature playoff contenders, you know, district champions. And it's kind of, you're getting your bang for your buck, preparing you, like I said, for district play. So that's the benefit of these tournaments, you know, going to these tournaments. And I'm sure that the women's team, the girls teams going to these, you know, they come from really tough districts. So, you know, what more did you need for preparation is going to all this. So like I said, and then look, if you look at the Katy teams, like I said, they've had teams of one state in the past, and you know, so what more to play those teams like Katy Taylor, Seven Lakes has an awesome team that I remember watching them a few years ago. So there's a lot of great programs that are coming up, you know, Langham Creek, just to name a few, Friendswood. Yeah. So you're going to get the quality, you know, the top notch quality area Houston area teams,
yeah,
you know, playing good against each other.
And we got Mr. San Antonio FC himself, Mr. Harry Austin, in the house saying hi. What's going on, Harry? And special thanks to Brandon Rich, who gave us – he did tell us that the I-10 shootout is their website, very nice website, is updated. And So everything is current. All information on there is current. And so essentially every school in the KDISD hosts one of these particular brackets. So we're going to go ahead. We'll do a quick screen share here so you guys, so we can get a better idea. All right. All right. Can you see this, Coach?
Yeah, I can barely see it.
Okay, let me blow it up here a little bit. All right. So essentially here, so you have a Panther bracket, all right, with the schools listed, Ram bracket, Tiger bracket. So all, these are all the individual schools obviously hosting a particular bracket. So pretty well thought out across the ISD.
And you can see some of the top quality teams, like they're there, the Mustang bracket. You got Taylor, you got Cy Creek.
Got Lake Travis and the Spartan bracket. I'm trying to look for schools outside of the greater Houston area in here. So
that Seven Lakes and Lake Travis, that'll be a great matchup.
Yeah, you have you got Johnson in the Falcon bracket.
Johnson with Tompkins. Tompkins is an up and coming team that's been doing well.
Yeah.
And
this was the other thing that I was looking for. This is good to see. When you see the private schools being able to be afforded opportunities to get in here as well, it's really good for both the private, obviously for both the private schools and the public schools, because they see a different school, different level of competition maybe that they're just not used to seeing. So it's very good in this non-district prep period. So, all right. Special thanks again to Brandon Rich on that. All right, next thing, Coach, I know we wanted to hit on here. So I wanted to mention NEPS. So very, very dynamic set of participants in this particular tournament. Let me pull this up here. So the NEPS showcase, which is also played across, I believe, three schools. I know Nolan Catholic is one of them. And but you look at this... look at this pretty dynamic makeup of schools. Arlington Heights, and then out of our region, you'll see a couple of South Texas schools here in the private schools in Antonian, as well as Bernie Champion. And then obviously some of these staples on the – so this is a very good mix of private and public schools across the region. And then another interesting one here is Karen Dellett out of California – and Harvard Westlake out of California as well. And then if you look down here, you also have Steel Canyon out of California. So Ursuline, which is again one of your biggest powers in the state on the private side, and there's St. Agnes there again. So very good matchups. You got Flower Mound in there, Denton Geyer, South Lake Carroll, Coppell. Yeah,
we got Ron Rock had a really good season last year. They made a run.
They did. Very much so. So anything stand out to you on this one?
Oh, this is what you were looking for as far as tournament preparation, you know, for your season. This is a good measuring stick of how good your team is. And then after that, you can use that to review, okay, what do I need to do to compete against these teams? You know, whether win or lose, you're going to get a lot of information to see where your team is at. And like I said, this could be like a bracket for playoffs. You know, every game is a playoff game. Even some could even be a state championship game. You know,
absolutely. This is a very, very impressive group of teams. I like the mix of public and private as well. You know, you have Hockaday in there out of the SPC. Mm-hmm. That's just another level of high caliber talent. And then, of course, out of this region, out of the San Antonio area, you have, again, Antonian as well as Bernie Champion. So, and I know, Coach Walters has had the Chargers, Bernie Champion, the Chargers headed going there, I think, for probably about 4 years now, three or four years at least, probably pre-pandemic for sure. So this will be an interesting one to cover for sure. Again, tournament directors, coaches, results, tag us, share any changes. because we'd like to stay on top of these. These are great matchups, particularly with these this combination of North Texas, South Texas, private schools, and then, of course, visitors coming in from California, which we all know is the hotbed when it comes to women's soccer. So another one that I wanted to highlight also, one that I have previous experience that I think doesn't get enough of the love that it should get, very kind of highly underrated tournament. And he's been doing great things there. I know I had him on the podcast not too long ago. Coach Logan Minshew in the Fredericksburg High School Hill Country Winter Classic that they will host the first weekend of January, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And that is, to me, that may be your best non-6A, you know, non-6A tournament, pound for pound, top to bottom. Maybe sub-5A, I guess you could say, non-6A, yeah. Sub-5A, just because, again, it hits on a lot of these things, similar to NEPS, where it's a good mix, or it has been in the past, a good mix of public schools, private schools. You got 4As, 5As, a big blend, you know, small 5As, big 4As, big 5As, you know, big 4As. It's a real interesting kind of mix of a little of everything. And they do a great job of hosting us. And they, you know, Coach Minshew does a great job of balancing those brackets. And I know, I believe he's going to have it. It'll be a showcase style format again this year. So it just depends, because that's the other thing to keep in mind with all these tournaments. They all vary. Some are showcase based, some are true bracket, you know, a winner's bracket / consolation bracket. So all those things to keep in mind as well. What are your thoughts maybe on, and I don't know how much you know about the Fredericksburg one, Coach. Anything? Have you heard anything in the past?
I mean, now that we're having more teams in 4A, you know, it was difficult for a lot of those teams to kind of play in some of those 6A, you know, 6A tournaments, you know, and, you know, not really playing schools that kind of at your, I mean, with nothing wrong with playing that because you are testing yourself, but sometimes you do want to play teams that are at your level that you more are going to see in the playoffs or even in district play. And then this is a good tournament, a good measuring stick for, you know, for those teams. And, you know, more and more of those sub 5A tournaments are popping up. Like I said, like Fredericksburg, I mentioned one, like in Waller, Texas, they're going to have one for in that Houston area, which is another good one that it attracts a lot of those great women's teams from the four, and the girls teams from the 4A level. So it's good for them. You know, it's
now, is that a newer one? Is that one of the newer ones? It is, right? Yeah.
It's one of the newer ones. So like I said, and plus also, like I said, allows them to get a lot more games in, since a lot of the 4A districts maybe only have four or five teams in their district. So they have to schedule as many as they can, you know, non-district or tournament games, just to get ready for that, you know, because their districts, you know, it's done within 2 or 3 weeks, and because of the number of teams that are on there. So, and then also allows also some other teams, like, you know, some of the also the TAPS teams, like, you know, like our Lady of the Hills, you know, for them, Bernie Geneva, like your team too, as well, to, you know, have opportunities to play teams that, you know, at that level as well too. So it's good to see some of these smaller schools start to host, you know, these 4A tournaments. And I think I anticipate I'm going to see a lot more after the realignment and so forth. We'll probably see a lot more of those teams start hosting them, which is great for, you know, more soccer out there.
Absolutely. And shout out, got to give some love to my El Paso folks out there. Got to give some love to my El Paso folks out there who I know. So on the girls' side, I haven't been able to confirm this on the boys' side, but on the girls' side, some of the teams that will be participating in certain tournaments is you will have, I know, El Dorado, Mountwood, Eastlake, Del Valle, and Bel Air will all be in the Frisco tournament. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also have, I believe, in the Wolfworth Friendship Tournament, Socorro will, I believe, be going to that one. So cannot confirm yet. I know I'm trying to verify which one I think Franklin was in, but I forget which one they were in. And then on the boys' side, so again, my El Paso folks, share whatever tournaments you're going to be in. You're going to be on this side of the state, obviously in the DFW area, but also whether you're going to be in Austin, San Antonio, or even in the Valley or out in Houston, please let us know. I know Franklin is going to one of the Houston tournaments. I just can't remember. I got to verify which one.
I know the boys say, I think they're having the Socorro Montwood boys tournament. And I saw some good teams on there.
Yeah.
I saw St. Ellie on there. A couple, you know, from that district. So I'm sure that's going to be real competitive. I did see a team from Lubbock. Coronado is actually going to be at that tournament. So
yeah.
Kudos to them to drive out from Lubbock to El Paso.
Right.
Tournament.
Yeah. It's going to be a very strong team on the girls' side, Lubbock Coronado this year. Look for them to do some special things. And I got to say, so I believe on the boys' side, they will be trying to verify here. So going back to Franklin, they are going to be playing, and I just got to double check that tournament that they're in, but they're going to be out in the Houston area taking on Pasadena, Clear Springs, and Elsick, just to name a few schools. So I know the boys' side and girls' side, Coach Hernandez, Coach Valle will have the Franklin Cougars out in the Houston area. So a big thing, though, to share with the rest of the state, though, is I think it goes beyond saying at this point the quality, the caliber of play out in West Texas, not only in Lubbock, but obviously far West Texas and El Paso, is get some of your teams, for those of you on this side of the state, get some of your teams to go out there and participate in some of those tournaments as well. Because you will see just not only from just the level of play, the experience you'll have, but the travel. The travel comes in handy once you start entering the playoffs, right? Yeah. So, and I think that's the earlier, I guess, exposure you can give to your teams on that. It shouldn't always just be the El Paso schools coming to this side of the state, but schools from this side of the state also going that way. So. What else we got, Coach? We look back on the girls' side. Any other tournaments?
Just like I said, there'll be some other ones coming up. I know, like, for our local areas, I've seen, like, for San Antonio, like SAISD is going to have a boys' tournament. I think there'll be some Valley tournaments, like McAllen girls are hosting one. So that's some good. I know some San Antonio area teams are going there. So. You're gonna have your pickings as far as a lot of the tournaments that first, especially those first 2 weeks, you know, that you can attend, and you're gonna see a lot of great soccer out there. So, yeah. Because hopefully we'll catch us seeing us out there, you know, checking out some of the games out there. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Right. Awesome. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap up our first segment here, Coach. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a look at the start of district play for TAPS district play, and we'll just briefly kind of rifle through the districts, get any input, any thoughts, and then kind of get your questions as well that you might have for me. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student-athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student-athletes.
All right, and we're back with Coach Rafa Castorena. We're looking at Season 2, Episode 1 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. So we just kind of ran the gamut, if you will, on upcoming tournaments, key tournaments, tournaments that we've identified on the UIL side as they get ready to kick off the week of January 3rd. Now, that same week, as early as January 4th, and I can attest to this personally, district play. Now, some district play has already kicked off on the TAPS side just because of the size of, for two reasons. One, either the size of districts and or they elected to start district play in December so they mm-hmm. can participate in some of these tournaments that we just mentioned on the UIL side, these first two weekends of January. So before we kind of dive into the districts briefly, Coach, just kind of go through them. Any particular thoughts locally on the TAP school side, questions, anything you might have?
Yeah, as far as the district play, any, I guess, favorites going into it, like any key matchups, that I look for. I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of the TAPS games. I know some, like I said, have done some pre-district games, and some are maybe doing some also some tournaments. But I know a lot of the district games are going to start that first week. Any teams that kind of, especially like on the boys' side, that kind of catches your eye, besides like with Central Catholic, that maybe it'll be another contender, maybe contending with them with that in our area or even statewide.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Central Catholic is the obvious one on the boys' side. And then I think what that will be like in that district, what kind of comes to mind this year is what will that be like, the adjustment that Central Catholic makes this year after a lot of that talent that they've had that has graduated. And obviously, you know, Coach Ed Carty, he just continues to develop them. So mm-hmm. they really, I guess you can say they reload rather than rebuild, right? As cliche as it sounds. Excuse me, but this may be the first time in the last, I don't know, 6-7 years where there's a little bit more of a question as to, okay, how dominant are they going to be? That's more of the word, maybe. How dominant, and is Antonian in position to possibly not only challenge them, which they do, but to maybe overtake them this year? You know, that's not a bulletin board material comment. That's just kind of the word I've been getting through the grapevine from in speaking with coaches, multiple coaches on the boys' side. I think when you look at 5A, one that clearly stands out locally in the San Antonio area is, you know, TMI. Once again, what are, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of in a similar yet different position from Central Catholic as to, okay, what is going to unfold this year there now that, you know, their coach is gone. I know they've taken a dent in terms of their coaching staff. I think two of their three coaches on their coaching staff are no longer there. The talent may be there, but what is it going to be like? What is it going to look like now in that district? So those are, I guess, the big questions on the boys' side. Thoughts on the girls' side?
Yeah, what I'm looking forward to is for the girls' side, you know, contentions for teams. Like, I know the Dallas teams from TAPS have been dominating, like Ursuline and like Agnes and so forth. You know, we've kind of been waiting to see which girls from our area here, especially in San Antonio, like the Antonian girls and the, you know, other teams like maybe Our Lady of the Hills, Bernie Geneva. I know GP the second had a run last year too, and I think they won the state the year before.
Right.
So we're like I said, we're looking forward to see what those teams kind of react after this past year. They maybe kind of fell short, but looking to see if they can contend. I know the Antonian girls have been doing really well, so they've you know, that had them in my top 15 rankings for locally and so forth. Mm-hmm. So and then your team, like I said, your team's in contention too in district play. And I think how do you feel about your team going into district play, going in as far as competing for that district title?
This is where I start giving all the coach cliche talk, right? No, I think, you know, for us at St. Mary's Hall, I think very excited for my girls. I think that we're probably, you know, it's in a very, very tough district. I think some of it speaks for itself just in terms of when you look at last year, just the quality of runs that multiple teams in our district made in the tournament, including Austin St. Michael's, who made a run all the way to state and lost in the state final, who by all accounts are even better this year. They also were able to get a couple, all on the up and up, obviously, but they were also able to acquire a couple of transfers from out of Dripping Springs. So that's, you know, that's kind of scary, I guess, when you look at it from our perspective in terms of our district. But I think from our perspective, when you look at our district, you know, it's an interesting one. So we talk about District 3. So it's District 3-5A. And you have, so it's 4 Austin schools and 4 San Antonio schools. And for me, you know, I just moved back here after having been gone for the last 2 years. So some of these schools I'm going to see for the first time. Some of these schools I know about, but some of these schools I'm going to see for the first time. And it's a mixed bag because you also don't know what you're going to get after last year, right? Because last year was such a really odd season in terms of you know, just COVID-19, a lot of players missing, players opting out, all kinds of stuff, just the depth issues. So clearly, I think you have Austin St. Michael's in our district, and then Austin Regents, very two, I think, are the probably you can argue are the or arguably are the top two teams in our district. Then after that, you have this wide mix of, you know, there's, you know, Geneva, Bernie Geneva in there. You have Hyde Park. You have who we play on January 4th, which is Austin Brentwood Christian, TMI, and us. In that whole group there, that can look 3 through 7, can look any, you know, it can look, you know, or 3 through 6, I should say. It can look any, it can look any number of ways, really. So I think our girls, I'm excited for our girls. I think we're going to be ready, and we're just going to focus, you know, going to continue to focus on us, not focus on who's lining up on the other side of us, and work on getting better each day and continue to, you know, our big mantra has been compete, you know, embrace competition, getting better each day, focus, controlling the controllables, all those things that they're rooted in, you know, they're cliches, but they're rooted in truth. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I was like, I'm looking forward to see, because I'm not too familiar much with the TAPS teams and so forth. Right. So I look forward to checking out some of those games, because like I said, they're also competitive teams in these traditions. They might be not UIL, you know, but like I said, I think some of those can compete in the UIL if right. they ever got an opportunity to play there and so forth. So
yeah.
So I look forward to coming out to one of your games. Hopefully I get a chance when I get back to town. To check those out and see how, you know, saw the girls too, and also you guys have the boys team too as well.
Yeah,
so hopefully they will as well.
Yeah, our boys team is you know, there's definitely some talent on there. You know, Coach Ramos says, you know, Coach Ramos, Coach McDonald, they're gonna have them ready to go. Tough district again, but I think they'll have them ready to go. And just like I said, they just you got to take the grind. You know, on the what it's like for. On the TAP side from January 4th to basically February 18th, it's nonstop. You know, it's every Tuesday, Friday will be district play. So, and then with district certification taking place on that following Tuesday, which is the 22nd. So, because by that Thursday, February 24th, all playoffs begin. So everybody's got to be ready to go. So it can be a mixed bag hitting district play right out of the gates, you know, right after, this long holiday break. So we got to definitely got to practice for sure. So
is it really important getting those as far as like going into the non-district games with some of the UIL teams, you know, how do you prepare for those? Do you take them seriously, or do you like, okay, let's just use them to see what we can fix? You know, how do the TAPS teams, you know, view playing a UIL team, knowing going into, okay, we're not going to see them, but we're going to, you know, maybe try to avoid injuries or something. You know, what is their view as far as going into that?
Yeah. No, you clearly take them serious. You clearly, you clearly have respect for your opponent. You don't ever, you know, kind of underestimate your opponent. But it's all those things. It's that mixed bag. It's like anything. It's kind of like, you know, it's an end. Even if it's a non-district game, we're in season. We're here to compete. But you also, yeah, you want to look at different things. You want to expose your players to a different level of whether it be just competition, depth chart, right? That's sometimes what you'll have when you're playing some of these public schools is we may have, you know, private schools. Some of these private schools may be 3, 4, 5, 6 deep off the bench, right? Some of these public schools, they could have like a whole second set of starting 11, you know, that can come off the bench. They're that quality. So it just depends, you know, and sometimes also like anything, it comes down to kind of like boxing. You know, I'm a boxing guy as well. So they say styles in boxing, they say styles make fights, and soccer, it's the same thing. Styles make matchups. So you often look at when we try to schedule, you know, obviously you don't have control in the tournament, but when you try to schedule them individually, you look at maybe a particular style of play for some of these teams on the public side that they may mirror something like you're gonna see in district play, right? So all those things factor in, all those things, but so there's no, it's, and it varies, you know, it varies from roster to roster, coach to coach, you know, because some every now and then you might think, hey, I might have a shot here at a very special team. We got to expose them early to a different style of play in a different area of the state. Get them out there early.
No, that's good to know, like, as far as going in. Because, like I said, I'm sure it's a challenge, you know, because some of these UIL teams do have the depth compared to some of the private schools, mm-hmm. you know, going into the season.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to go ahead. Just a real quick run through of our TAPS districts, I think, also so we can kind of put them on display a little bit more for some of our listeners that may not be used to seeing this on the public side, or I mean, that they may not be exposed to the private side, I should say. So, okay. So we look at here. So this is on the boys side. So Division One, District One, that's what that one means there. So you'll see, so we'll have four schools there in District Two. And if anyone jumps out at you, Coach, anyone you want to highlight or mention or speak
about? Nolan Catholic, I know they've had a good, for the boys, they've had a good history of playoff runs and also a couple state titles. Yeah. Especially also John Paul II, Plano. They've been a state champion that I've seen, you know, just kind of following when I followed Central Catholic. You know, like I said, then there's District 3 here with Central Catholic, Antonian. San Antonio Christian's actually been winning some quality games, and they may surprise District 3 this year and could contend for that district title. St. Dominic, not too familiar for them. I think that might be an upstart team as far as in that district. And then District 4, like I said, what can you say about the Houston area teams? You got St. Thomas, Pius X. Yeah. Those two teams are, you know, always making it to the playoffs. Also, the team from Beaumont, that's your defending state champs, the Beaumont Kelly, the one that knocked off Central Catholic, you know.
Right. So that got everyone's attention.
And then the lone wolf there, Cathedral.
They did make
a great play, state run last 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah, 2 years ago, they gave Central Catholic everything they could handle in that state final. Yeah,
I don't think anybody expected them to make that run. So here this year they'll be a contention against this year.
Right. Here we start transitioning to Division Two, which is your District Five or Division 5A, if you will. Mm-hmm. So this 1-5A here. So you'll see your DFW. So one and two, districts one and two are pretty much the DFW and the greater DFW area. So and then here Grapevine Faith, which has been a staple here. Mm-hmm. Are actually on the girls' side more so, but and some of these, and one thing to highlight is you will see these districts will look different from the boys' side to girls' side on the private side, because you will have some schools that are all boys on all boy only or all girls only, so they do look different, and they just vary. So here's another big one. So District Three, we start looking at, so here's the boys' side. And here's our district, what we were talking about. You'll see this is the one district that's like completely split between, in terms of two cities, two major cities in Austin and San Antonio, which is District 3-5A, which we already had highlighted. Then you have the coastal bend district there in District 4. And then you got District 5, which is a huge district.
Yeah, some of those Houston area teams have been, I don't know, like the Woodlands, and they've had a quality team,
right,
for 5A.
And then we start transitioning over to 4A, which is Division 3, in your districts here that you'll see. So, and one of the biggest things that stands out, you don't see it here this year yet, but what is going to happen next year with the next realignment is 4A in TAPS is going to be, it's actually going to overtake 5A as the largest division in soccer. So now we looking over at the girls' side here, very similar, no real changes. The big one here on the girls' side here is in District 2, which is just probably the most successful program, public or private, in all of high school, not in soccer, but in all of high school sports. They have Ursuline Academy out of Dallas. They have a just a ridiculous number of state titles at the 6A level. And then there's our local districts, Antonian and Incarnate Word, Sachs again, and St. Dominic Savio. Coastal Bend, or Houston, I should say, sorry.
Yeah,
are transitioning to Division II. District 2, District 3, again, there's our district there. And then there's your Coastal Bend district. And everything from here, for the most part, everything looks the same. So thoughts on coverage? Anything on the public's, on the private side? Sorry, Coach.
This is, like I said, just for them. You know, they do start, like I said, started the season earlier. They're already in the groove going into the district play. And like I said, I'm sure, like I said, going, they're very eager to, because they get districts, you know, the start of the district play ready to go. And we'll see who comes out as far as the favorites and then as far as who makes the playoffs. And hopefully these games that have prepared, these pre-district games have prepared them for that and going in. Because I know there's going to be some good matchups. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of Dallas, Houston heavy district heavy teams. You know, they got, like I said, like Ursuline Academy. I've heard about them. And, you know, I think they won like consecutive district, like state championships, like a 15, 16 in a row or something until they finally lost
about 4 years ago, but they had they had a streak of, I think, 22, 23 in a row, something like that.
Yeah.
And then St. Agnes finally knocked them off. And it's kind of one of those. I know I had last season on the podcast, I had Nolan Catholic's coach on here, and he was talking about that was, you know, if not for them, you can only argue how many maybe state titles they would have, because that's just who they couldn't get past, right? So that's a tough one. That makes me wonder
if St. Ursuline can compete in UIL and 6A.
You know, no doubt.
You know, if they can compete against Coppell, Flower Mound, or South Lake Carroll, you know, how successful would they be, and would they be able to win a state championship in the 6A level? You know, that'd be something interesting. I know, like, where we have like Dallas Jesuit and Houston Street Jesuit that did the transition from TAPS to UIL. And like I said, that'd be interesting to see St. Ursuline. And wonder if they would ever consider going into, you know, UIL playing in 6A.
Yeah.
That'd be some good matchups going into that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'd be. Can they compete? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a matter of where they end up, where they're placed. But could they compete? No. I mean, when you end up seeing a lot of these public schools versus private schools in an individual match, like I said, styles are what drives it more than anything. But and it usually comes down to just more depth, the numbers thing. But a school like a St. Agnes, or maybe even Ursuline, because they're all girls' schools. So those numbers are heightened versus a private school that is co-ed, you know, so that pool in terms of additional student athletes is doubled, if not tripled. So that's another aspect to keep in mind on the private side versus on the public side. So awesome. Well, hey, Coach, this has been great. This has been good. I know. Any thoughts as we start what comes to mind in terms of coverage, what you want to hit on, what we have planned for our next episode of Inside Texas High School Soccer?
Hopefully we're going to hit on some of the week one results from the tournaments, some matchups. I know there's some good matchup. I think one of them, hopefully I'll be able to get to go to on January 3rd, even though it's a 6A, 5A matchup, but they're perennial powers, Churchill versus Porter. They're at Comalander Stadium. I think it's at 5 p.m. That's basically that could be a regional final game, right? If they're both in 6A or 5A, so that's going to be a good matchup. And then, you know, looking forward to seeing some of these tournaments. You know, hopefully we'll get to go out to the Ranger Classic and maybe also the Northside Showcase, just to check out some of the teams out there. And so if you see us out there, say hi to us. any pictures, tag us on pictures and stuff. And, you know, we love to, you know, get info from what's going on with your teams, and, you know, hashtag us on the scores. I know we have the hashtags there that we send out on some tweets. I don't know, for San Antonio, it'll be the 210 soccer scores. you know, hashtag that on there, but tag both of us on there for those aerial tournaments in San Antonio for or Region 4 too as well.
Yeah, you stole my thunder there. I was just getting ready to share that really quick, just as a reminder. So for our listeners everywhere, I know. Let me see if I can share this here. Oh, it's freezing up on me here. Let's see, give it a second. So, Rafa, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. So screen's taking a second to respond, but so essentially you did hit on it. I was going to try to highlight that graphic one more time, but we did release it last week. So high school coaches, public and private alike, tournaments, individual play, scrimmages, doesn't really matter. Not really focused so much on scrimmages, more so it's just the analysis on scrimmages, but your scores, your posts, make sure, please enter the tag, the TXHSSOC scores, all right, for Texas High School Soccer scores. Again, that's TXHSSOC scores. So this way we can track it closely. That'll be the hashtag that we're trying to follow. And then of course include your TXHSSOC hashtag for Texas High School scores as well. So give me 1 second here. All right. I think that's gonna go ahead and do it for us. Rafa, anything else? Thoughts?
As we start wrapping up here. Ready for 2022, what to expect this year. You know, I've seen some contenders, you know, as for our mine in my area for San Antonio. Hopefully, like I said, I think they'll, like mentioned, Smithson Valley Girls. I did see, like, Laredo United Boys. They were impressed. I was impressed by Southwest. So we have some teams that here in my area that I think could make some long playoff runs and be in contention. We have a couple of state champs down here. We have Lee Boys. I think they still have the talent to repeat, you know. We're going to come out of Region 4 and defend their title. But I'm sure there's some teams that maybe are going to challenge them and push them to the limit. And same thing in the 5A, like with Dripping Stream Girls, you know, they're going to have that big target on their back. And, you know, you have teams like Burning Champion, Alamo Heights are going to be targeting them, even Gregory Portland, just to mention a few. So it's going to be an interesting season coming up for 2022.
All right, there, and I am back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
All right.
I think I froze or something.
Yeah. It was in the middle of trying to bring up the actual hashtag here, and for whatever reason, it kind of didn't like it, and it froze on me, and then it kicked me out. So recap again, appreciate our listeners, all our scores. What I did want to share, let's see if it'll let me share again this time. Fingers crossed here. Okay, there we go. So our share screen, what we're trying to do here. So again, high school coaches, public and private alike, remember to tag us or utilize the hashtag. So whenever you're reporting scores, any media day, you know, mainly on your scores, which is really what we're worried about at the end for your results, please be sure you utilize the hashtag TXHSSOC scores for Texas High School scores. Again, TXHSSOC scores for Texas High School scores. And then for our San Antonio, let me share here. Hold on. Trying to find your post here, Coach. Here we go. So for our San Antonio teams, high school scores here. So don't mind Coach Rafa's lovely hair. But utilize this hashtag on your scores, the 210 soccer scores, hashtag 210 soccer scores. These will be ways where we can track your individual games, and we can highlight results. All of these will help us highlight players, highlight results going forward, And so I know the last thing before we wrap up, Coach, I know you wanted to mention, you did have it on your San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, but the one thing I did want to hit on is our probably by our next episode, we'll at least mention it, or you'll have a preseason, your San Antonio Power rankings, but also we will introduce the first edition of your RPI, right? Your Rafa Power Index, which will be your statewide power rankings, your pound for pound, regardless of, doesn't matter, your 6A, 5A, 4A, private, these will be state rankings, pound for pound across all levels. So for sure. So appreciate that. Any final thoughts on those, Coach?
Yeah, just like I said, I'm working on that. Like I said, we did come out, like I said, with San Jorge with the local area rankings with our top 15, but I'm going to come out with the statewide, and I'm just doing the research. Like I said, I've seen some other ones, other rankings in other areas that, we do our homework here. So, some might agree with us, some of that. I know I got some little flack on some of the one top 15, but hey, it's all good. But like I mentioned, the one ranking that counts the most is the one that's holding the trophy at the end of the season. So, right. But it's good. It's good to recognize some of these teams, whether they're here for us, like for local, but also we're going to start recognizing teams statewide. So whether you're in region one, region four, two or three, we're going to recognize you on all the hard work you do. And then, like I said, it's going to, see who are our top teams that we see as far as here in the state of Texas. So,
Right.
To them.
Yeah. The rankings are nice. They're cool. They generate buzz, and they're good validation when you get ranked. And sometimes I know some people, they get, as I like to call it, they get all in their feelings when they're not ranked, right? They say, hey, what about me? But keep this in mind. It's like, if it's just icing on the cake, if you are mentioned, if you're not, it's just something to work towards, but they're all subjective, right? And the one thing that separates us here in Inside Texas High School Soccer from other people that can throw out, just rankings across individual classifications, across a region, across the state. What you are going to get here from us is actual analysis of districts, of matchups, of games, and definitely when we work our way into the playoffs. Not just lists based upon recommendations, but actual analysis and breakdowns of matchups and games, as we said. So that's what really separates us here, is the analysis. Right or wrong, it's not so much. That can be a little bit on the subjective side, but we really try to be as objective as possible in our analysis and not let it, be swayed one way or the other. So again, for our listeners everywhere, I want to wish you a happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays going forward. Be safe in the new year. We will be coming back with another edition very soon of Inside Texas High School Soccer. When are you guys slated for your next episode of San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, Coach?
I think Harry and I were probably looking, maybe could be the first week we come back, or we may wait till like after the first week of the year, maybe that Sunday, because we do need to cover some recent signings for the SAFC, because we do cover San Antonio FC. Some information with Corinthians, because now they're part of the NPSL. But I know for sure, I know talking to Harry and also to Royce, more like we're going to probably come maybe that second week, do a little roundup at the highlight of the first week of the high school soccer season. So we're going to have something to talk about, for that week.
Yeah,
and then also maybe update some rankings too. So like I said,
see who
goes up and who goes down.
Yeah, for sure. All right, awesome, good deal. Again, we may be working on a episode of the 50-50 podcast before the new year. See if certain things fall in place. But again, you can find us in addition to on Twitter. You can go to YouTube. Like, subscribe. That's the best way. Click on the bell so you can get the notifications of upcoming episodes. You can find us on Twitter at 50_50pod. You can find us at 50_50podcast on Instagram, and then on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. So unless we don't see you until next year, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy New Year. Please be safe, everybody. Thank you to all our listeners, our supporters, our subscribers. You're the reason why we do it. A lot of exciting stuff coming up in the next coming months. Thank you again for everything. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.